G'day, this is Pastor Les Gomes from Transformers Christian Church. It's our desire that the message you're about to hear encourages you and helps you identify some valuable insights about your life and situation. As you listen to this message, it's really important that you think about how you can put what you learn into action. The only way you're going to see your life transformed is by putting the things you've learned to work. The Bible says we need to hear the word and also do it. Now, let's get into today's message.
Praise the Lord. Amen. Well, if you have your Bibles, I want you to look at 3 John. Third John, verse 2. Give me an oi when you're there. Praise the Lord. So it says, Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers. The King James Version says, Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. The Bible in basic English says, My loved one, it is my prayer that you may do well in all things and be in health in body, and be healthy in body, even as your soul does well. You know, we started looking last week about the keys to financial prosperity. I did say last week, and I'm going to recap a couple of things and then just sort of go and just kind of add some things to what I shared. But it's God's will for us to prosper. Do I hear an amen?
Amen.
It's His will. This is not my idea. This is not my opinion. This is what we've just read in the Scriptures. Beloved, I pray that you may prosper and be in health even as your soul prospers. I know some people that are against this idea of prosperity talk about, well, that's just a customary greeting. Well, it is also the word of God. And if it was not, if prosperity was something that was evil, then God would have stopped John from writing that and say, find another way of giving a greeting because that is not my will. But it's not just through there, it's right through the Scriptures. And we did start last week and we looked at a couple of things. So I want to recap a couple of things with you. Number one, we looked at prosperity is God's idea. When He first made man, He said, be fruitful and multiply. He didn't say, eke out a living. Live from paycheck to paycheck. You know, I guess I'm focusing on financial prosperity, but prosperity is far more than finances. And I hope you understand that. The reason I want to focus on finances is because there's so much misunderstanding and ignorance in this area. And, And I've certainly seen some benefit in my own life, in this area. So number one, God, when He first made man, He said, be fruitful and multiply. The second thing is Jesus, He said, you will glorify, He said, by this is my Father glorified when you are fruitful, when you bear much fruit. He's going back to Genesis. Just like God said, be fruitful and multiply, Jesus is saying, you glorify God when you're fruitful. And then Paul in Colossians chapter 1, he prayed, and Ray read it out actually just this morning, he prayed that we would be fruitful in every good work. And so we can see from Jesus, we can see from Paul, we can see from God in Genesis 1, that prosperity is God's idea. He wants us to be fruitful, not just financially, He wants us to be fruitful in every good way, in every good work. We looked also last week, and I'll get last week's message up today before I go, so that'll be up. I meant to do it before today, but anyway. We looked last week at how prosperity is not dependent on your level of education. We proved that in the Scriptures. It's not dependent on which side of the tracks you were born. It's not dependent on how much money is in your account, what sort of house you live in or the sort of car you drive. It's not dependent on what sort of job you have. It's not dependent on whether you are on Centrelink, whether you're on a pension. I told you about a mate of mine last week. He built a multi-million dollar portfolio on a pension, on Centrelink payments. Don't tell me God can't bless you. He's in heaven now. But if you had to ask him, how did this happen? He would just say, it's the blessing of the Lord. It's the blessing of the Lord. And so I guess I want to lift your vision. You know, if you don't have an expectancy that God actually, He wants me to be fruitful. He wants, this is His idea. He wants me to do well. If you don't have that built within you, you're not going to start moving in that direction. And so the first thing you have to do is begin to build a picture within you. Like, yeah, God wants me to succeed. And it's not dependent on what your education is. It's not dependent on how much money you earn. That wouldn't be fair. If you're called to be a CEO of a company, I should say, if your friend is called to be CEO of a company and you're called to be a cleaner or a, you know, or some job that pays just a really basic wage, if you're called to do that, that would be unfair that you should get penalized financially. God's not like that. He'll more than make up, but you've got to start building a vision. You've got to start building an expectancy. But let me clear that. There are levels of prosperity. There are some people that will be called to prosper at a far greater level. But every one of us, God's desire is for you and I to be rich. And that's not my word. That's what the Word of God says. Talked about Jesus when He was nailed to the cross. Even though He was rich, it says, He became poor, that you and I, through His poverty, would become rich. So even though there's levels of prosperity, God desires for every one of us to be rich, to have more than enough. And I'm telling you, it is a lot more fun to be in a position where you've got more than enough and you can be a blessing to others. You can give. You can see opportunities. It is so much fun. And I've been really blessed to be in that situation. Hallelujah. Then we also looked like, okay, prosperity is not dependent on your education or which side of the tracks you were born or what sort of job you have or how much is in your account. What is it dependent on? And we looked at three things last week. Can anybody remember one of them? This is going to test the memory. Put your hands to work, yes. Your prosperity is dependent on, you know, I know so many believers that are just saying, you know, just believe with me that I'm going to prosper, and they're just waiting. They're just waiting. And guess what? God's waiting for them. Because the Bible says He will bless the work of your hands. So you've got to put your hands to work. And if you don't put your hands to work, nothing's going to happen. And so that was one of the things that your prosperity is dependent on. What else is it dependent on? Can anybody remember one of the others? What's that? Yeah. Your prosperity is dependent on your ability to manage your money. Right? One of the sweetest revelations God gave me, and it was several years ago, and I was struggling. I was struggling to make ends meet. I was struggling to make it from fortnight to fortnight. It felt like the fortnight was longer than the pay cycle. And He gave me this revelation, and it's to me, it brings a smile to my face when I think about this revelation. And I shared it last week, and that is, you cannot prosper if you spend more than you earn. I love it. I love it. And it changed my life. Because I realized I wasn't managing. You know, I have talked to a lot of people and about finances. I've talked to a lot of people, right? I have yet to see what I'm going to tell you disproved. Every single person that I've talked to who's had a financial problem has not been an income problem. It has been an expenditure problem. Every single person. But they'll come to me and they'll say, you know, I'm just not getting enough money. There's just not enough coming in. I've got so many things, so many commitments. There's not enough. And when we get down to it, every time it is not an income problem. They did a survey a few years ago. They surveyed, I think it's like the top 1% of earners in Australia. There were several thousand that they surveyed. And they were, the criteria was you've got to be earning $200,000 a year or more to participate in this survey. And the majority of them said that they weren't earning enough. They couldn't make ends meet. That is not an income problem. That is an expenditure problem. You cannot prosper if you spend more than you get. And so one of the keys to financial prosperity is you've got to be able to manage what you've got. And that was one of the first things that God said to me. Like, I mean, I remember when I asked him about it, I said, show me. And he said, I want you to start giving. I want you to start, make a commitment, and I want you to give every month. And I thought, we can't afford that. But it forced me to start looking at, well, what are we spending? And I need to cut back on my spending so that I can start doing what God's showing me to do. And I am so glad, hey, because I am financially free. I am not financially secure. I'm financially free. There's a difference. The world wants you to aim for financial security. The world wants you to accrue, you know, like you just keep storing what you got. Keep storing it away. Keep storing it away. Keep storing it away. That will never, ever get God's approval, because He wants to be your security and He wants to be my security. But He wants you to be financially free. What's financial freedom? That means you are free to do whatever God tells you to do, and finances is not an issue. Anything God tells me, I don't need to work. Where I work, I don't need to work. I took 2.5 months off. Just because I wanted a break. It's an awesome feeling. And God wants that for you, and He wants that for me, to be free, financially free, that you can do what He's called you to do. It is a wonderful thing. But you'll never get there until you start managing what you've got. Hallelujah. And the first thing we actually looked at, so putting your hands to work, manage what you've got. And the first one was actually, it's dependent on where you put your confidence. You need to put your confidence in God. If you want to prosper God's way, you're going to have to start listening to what He has to say and put your confidence in Him. Because it's not going to be your smart thinking, not your schemes, not what you've worked out about how you can beat the system. You know, if everything in your life has been because of your hard work and your saving, you haven't touched what God wants to do for you and through you. Hey, if everything in your life is just because you worked hard and you saved up, you ain't touched. You ain't even started on the path that God has for you. Because He wants you to prosper at such a level that people come and say, how are you doing this? And you can say, it's God. It's just God. I can say that from my heart. Am I as far as some people are in terms of where their finances are? No, I'm not. But I'm a lot further than where I used to be. Hallelujah. So I want to move on from there, and I want to talk a little bit more about the keys to financial prosperity. Is that all right? Can I do that? Praise God. So look at that scripture again, 3 John verse 2. It says, beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers. I want you to say soul. So notice it says, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your what? Soul prospers. I want you to notice that prosperity in everything, including prosperity in your health, is tied to the prosperity of your soul. Why would God do that? Why can't He just drop a big bag of money right now, or forget the money, just drop a big bag of gold right now? You know, like, we'll work the soulish stuff out later. Like, why? No. The scripture says the prosperity of a fool will destroy him. God loves you and I too much to destroy us with prosperity. He wants us, our soul, to prosper. He wants us to mature and to grow. And then the other things come. We prosper in all things, and we prosper in our health just as our soul prospers. So I want to kind of explore that a little bit with you this morning and give you some understanding. So I want you to turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 23. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 verse 23. Give me an oi when you're there. So it says, now may the God of peace Himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. So I want you to notice that Paul is praying here in Thessalonians, and he says, may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless. So when we think about a person, they are spirit, they are soul, and they are body. That's what the scripture says. And I want to explore a little bit about the prosperity of the soul, but I want to give you some understanding about spirit, soul, and body and where they fit in. You know, your spirit, the Bible talks about your spirit being the inner person of the heart. That's the most innermost being. That's the very core of your being. In reality, you are a spiritual being. You will live longer than your body lives if Jesus delays his return. Your body may not live more than another 80, 90 years. But you will live longer than that. So who are you? You're more than just a body. You are a spirit. And this scripture says, may he present you spirit, soul, and body. So you are a spirit, you have a soul, you live in a body. Now, think the interesting thing about your spirit is you cannot detect your spirit with your senses. You can't detect your spirit with your physical senses. You can't detect your spirit with your intellect. You can't detect your spirit with your emotions. Your spirit is that inner core of you, and it cannot be detected. So how do we know it's real? Well, the Word of God tells us. What we've just read, it says, may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, think about Adam. Remember when God made Adam and Eve, and he said to Adam, he said, you can eat of all the trees in the garden, but of the tree of the fruit of the knowledge of good and evil, you shall not eat of that. And he said, for the day you eat of it, you shall surely what? He said, you'll die. Is that right? So did Adam and Eve eat of the tree? Yes, they did. It's not a trick question, right? They did eat of it. But you know, my Bible, it doesn't say that they died. Because it actually says they ate of it and their eyes were opened and they realized they were naked. So then they went out and took up needlecraft and sewed some fig leaf suits and stuff. But God said, you'll die. So was God lying? No, he was talking about the spirit. So you can't sense your spirit with your physical senses or your intellectual senses, but you have a spirit. And he said to Adam, he said, the day you eat of it, you will die. And he did die. His spirit died. But his body lived on for another 930 years. In Ephesians chapter 2, it says, and you were once dead in your trespasses and sins, and yet now he has made you alive in Christ. What's he talking about? I don't remember when I was dead. He's not talking about my body. He's not talking about your body. He's talking about your spirit. There is an inner core of you that is, and this is really important. I'm going to show you some scriptures that maybe you've wrestled with for a while, and it'll never make sense to you. In fact, there's a lot of things in the scriptures you'll never be able to understand unless you understand these basic things. Can we get that first diagram up, Andrew? This is one way of trying to depict it. Your spirit is the innermost part of your being. And it's really infused with your soul, but your soul is not as deep as your spirit, but they are infused. We can talk about spirit and soul for study purposes, but the reality is there's very, very little that can separate your spirit and soul other than the Word of God. You know, in fact, I think that's the only thing that can separate your soul and your spirit. That's a whole, we might talk about it, but and then you're clothed in a body. You are a spirit, you have a soul, you live in a body. Your body is just like a piece of clothing. If I had a jacket on, I could take my jacket off and let it go and it would just fall to the ground. When your spirit comes out of your body will fall to the ground because it's just like clothing. You are not your body. Your body is just your temporary temple. It's just your tent. That's where you live right now. And your body's going to have a major upgrade, hey? It's going to have a major upgrade. It's going to be just like Jesus' body. It's going to be filled with the glory of God. You're going to be able to walk through walls. You'll be able to fly. You'll be able to do instant transmission, even better than Goku. You'll be able to just go from one place to another. Anyway, that's not the purpose of today. I'm just looking forward to that upgrade, hey? And you're going to need it, because the next chapter of life, the next phase of life, your current body will not be able to handle it. The level that you're going to need to operate on when we go from this life into the next, you will need an eternal body. You will need one just like Jesus' body. And that's through the scriptures, hey, but that's not today. We're not talking about that. But I want you to turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Give me an oi when you're there. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation." So I want you to notice in verse 17, it says, if anyone is in Christ, put your hand up if you're in Christ. That means you're a believer. So this applies to you. It says, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. I remember when I read that scripture, I looked at myself, I thought, everything's not new in me. The scripture says that I'm a new creation. Old things have passed. Everything's become new. I looked at my body. I was about 18 years of age when I became a Christian. I thought, this is not a new body. I can still see scars on my knees that I used to have. What does this scripture mean? It's talking about your spirit. Your spirit's the real you. And when you're in Christ, you are a new creation. Your spirit is brand new. Everything in your spirit is brand new. You are a perfect creation in your spirit. It says there, it says, all things have passed away. Behold, everything has become new. And now all things are of God. Everything in your spirit is of God. There's no evil in your spirit. This is so important to know. I'm going to show you some scriptures that confounded me for a long, long time until I understood this. I am a spiritual being, and in Christ my spirit is brand new. Do you know your spirit has never ever been depressed for a single day since you became born again? Your spirit has never been discouraged. Your spirit has never been sick since the day you were born. You're a new creation in your spirit. Everything is brand new, and everything, this is what the scripture says, everything is of God in your spirit. All the power you'll ever need to repel any attack of the enemy is already in you. All the victory you will ever need for whatever challenge you're facing has already been put in you. All the finances, all the wisdom, everything you need has already been placed in you. You're not trying to work out, how do I get it from heaven to come to here? How do I get God? How do I twist his arm? How can I convince him to answer my prayer? No, you've been given everything you need. Hallelujah. Oh, this is so awesome. That's why it says all things have become new, and now all things are of God. In your spirit, everything is of God. That's why the Bible says you are complete in him. I would read that and say, I'm complete in him. I think like, man, I don't feel complete. What was I doing? I wasn't looking at my spirit because I couldn't sense my spirit. I was looking at my history, my track record. I was looking at my interactions with other people. Looking at my thoughts, my emotions. And I was thinking, I'm not, boy, if this is complete, man, I've got a long way to go. That's why the scripture says you are now holy and righteous and blameless and above reproach. Why does it say that? It's talking about your spirit. Your spirit is perfect. I want you to turn to 1 John chapter 3. If you don't understand what I've just talked about, this scripture will be a huge stumbling block for you, as it was for me for a long, long time, for many years. 1 John chapter 3, verse 9. Give me an oi when you're there. Whoever has been born of God does not sin, for his seed remains in him, and he cannot sin because he has been born of God. I used to hate reading that scripture. I would read that scripture and it would just cause me all the hairs on the back of my neck to stand up, because it's saying, whoever has been born of God does not sin. And I would look at myself and I'd think, oh, maybe I'm not born of God. Because it says, whoever's been born of God doesn't sin. And then if that was bad enough, then it says in that same scripture, and he cannot sin because he's been born of God. And I would get so worried. I'd be thinking like, man, I sin all the time. But this says whoever's been born of God doesn't sin and he cannot sin. And I'm thinking, man, mate, I'm obviously not born of God. Oh God, please help me. How do I get born again? I thought I was. And I found a resolution that for a number of years worked. I just never ever read that scripture. I just thought, I don't get that. Because every time I would read it, I would break out in a cold sweat thinking, I'm not born of God. What was my mistake? I forgot that I was a spiritual being. This is talking about your spirit. Whoever's been born of God, when you're born of God, you're born in your spirit. Your soul and your body are not touched. It's your spirit that's born in you. It's your spirit that's a new creation. And it's saying, when you're born of God, in your spirit, you don't sin. And you cannot sin. Do you realize your spirit can't sin? That's why I said your spirit can't be depressed. Your spirit can't be defeated. This some real keys here if you were to meditate on it. Some people are struggling with bad habits in their life, thinking, I just can't get victory over it. Do you know your problem? You're not walking in the Spirit. Because your spirit cannot be defeated. That's why the Bible says, walk in the Spirit and you will not fulfill the lust of your flesh. But what happens is so many believers are trying to walk in the flesh. Well, God, I'm going to stop all of these things. I'm going to stop this negative way of thinking. I'm going to stop being depressed. I'm going to stop being so resentful. I'm going to stop trying to hold grudges. I'm going to stop all of these things. And you're doing it in your flesh. Walk in the Spirit and you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. Because your spirit can't sin. Your spirit is all of God. Your spirit is one with Jesus. Your spirit is holy, it's sinless, it's blameless, it's undefeated, it's filled with the wisdom of God. It's fused with God Himself. In the spirit realm, the devil can't tell the difference between us and Jesus. This is not my opinion, this is what the Bible says. It says, he that is joined to the Lord is one spirit. You are one spirit when you're joined to the Lord. When you walk in the Spirit and the devil looks at you, he doesn't know, man, is that Jesus or is that just another believer? I'll just stay here. Why are we talking about this? Because I want to talk to you about one of the keys to financial prosperity. And one of the keys is you will only prosper as your soul prospers. And I want to get to that, but I need you to understand spirit, soul, and body first. You are not waiting for anything to happen to your spirit. Your spirit will not change. If you're a believer, your spirit will be exactly the same when Jesus returns, and in a million years' time in heaven, your spirit will be exactly the same. There's nothing more God can do. You're already one with Him in the Spirit. So the problems that we face in life are not in the spirit, they are in our body or in our soul. Because the spirit's already sorted if you're a believer. So let me talk a little bit about the soul of a person. Your spirit is that innermost being, that your spirit is that part of you that relates to God. Your soul is that part of you that relates to others. It's made up of your mind, your will, and your emotions. I don't want to spend too much time talking about. I'll just give you a quick proof. You can write these down and look at it. How do we know it's your mind, your will and your emotions? Because the Bible says. Psalm 103, bless the Lord, O my soul. Is that right? So David is speaking to his soul and he's saying, bless the Lord. So your soul can choose. That's your will. And then it says in the next verse, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Well, if you forget not, then your soul can remember. That's your mind. So your soul is made up of your will. It's made up of your mind. And it's also made up of your emotions. Do you remember when Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane? And he said, pray with me. My soul is distressed. It's exceedingly sorrowful. So your soul experiences sorrow. There's also in the Psalms, it talks about your soul rejoices before the Lord. So your soul is made up of your mind, your will, and your emotions. When you become a new creation in Christ, when you become a child of God, your spirit is made brand new, but your soul is untouched. Your mind is the way you think. Your will is the way you desire. Your emotions is the way you feel. The way you think, the way you desire, and the way you feel is largely untouched. There can be a real sense of euphoria when you become a Christian. I remember when I became a Christian, man, no one can tell me that I didn't become a Christian. I was there and I felt the difference. There was a difference. Something had happened. I didn't understand what had happened, but I was on cloud nine for days and days. But you know, after that kind of initial euphoria wore off, I couldn't really tell a difference in the way I thought, in the way I desired, in the way I felt. I knew something had happened, but I couldn't discern what had happened in my spirit. Your soul is untouched. You still think the old ways. You still desire the old ways. You still feel the old ways. That's why you can have believers who are born again and going to heaven, and yet they live in depression every day of their lives. How is that possible? Because they're living out of their soul, not their spirit. Listen, you know, like, I mean, things can go wrong in life, you know. I'm not saying if something goes wrong in your life, you can just have a smile and laugh it off. Things can go wrong, things can happen. And, you know, you can get tempted to become depressed. You know, depression comes because someone experiences loss. And I don't want to diminish anybody who's had any sort of loss in their life, whether that something happened in their childhood and they lost something, or they experienced a death in their family, or they experienced the loss of a job, or whatever. And so all of those things can come, and you can tempted to be depressed, and you will get depressed if you remain in your soul. But understand this, as a believer, your spirit will never get depressed. So you can choose to operate in the spirit and let that thing lift you, or you can choose to live in your soul and depression will dominate you. I'm not telling you this from like theory. This is personal experience. When Joy Went to Heaven was one of the saddest days of my life. And I'm not going to try to pretend like I was happy for her, and now I'm very happy for her. I did not expect that to happen, and that was one of the most difficult things that I had to adjust, was not that she died, but that I didn't expect her to die. But you know, my spirit was still undefeated. My spirit was still filled with peace. My spirit was still filled with victory. And I had to dig deep and get past my emotion and just say, you know what? These emotions are not going to dominate me. And I would spend time praising God, and many times I would be crying as I'm praising Him. But I would still praise Him. If you allow depression to fill your vision, you will experience depression. If you allow that loss to fill your vision, you will get depressed, eh? What am I trying to say? I'm talking about your soul. There's still work that needs to happen. And that's why there are some believers that struggle with depression, and yet they're going to heaven. Yet they're living hell on earth. That's how you can have believers who are born again and they're going to heaven, and they may not be experiencing depression, but they're living an offense. Everything has offended them. Everyone has hurt them. Everyone has let them down. How is that possible? Because they're living out of their soul. How does offense come? Offense comes when you have unfulfilled expectation. You expect certain things to happen and they don't happen, and you get disappointed, and it can turn into offense, hey? You know, one of the key things Jesus said that would happen before his return is he said, many people will get offended and hate one another. You don't have to live in offense. You can be a spiritual being because you are a spiritual being, and you can live in the spirit. Does that mean that those disappointments don't get to you? Look, there can still be disappointments. I mean, there's lots of times that people have promised me things or said that they were going to do certain things, or I expected certain things to happen and they didn't happen, but I'm not going to let that dominate how I feel. I remember I had someone one time ask me, said, you know, like, they said, what's the difference between kind of like faking it and really rejoicing? And I said, the difference is what you believe. If you believe you have a problem and you're pretending that you don't, you're faking it. But if you believe you may have a problem, but you also believe that God is far greater than your problem, you can rejoice in the midst of that problem, hey? That's why I choose to rejoice. Because even if I've got a problem that's going on, even if I've been disappointed, even if people have let me down, that is just a tiny little thing compared to the mountain of blessings that live in me and that are coming to me. Hallelujah. You cannot prosper in all things unless your soul begins to prosper. And your soul will not prosper if you give in to resentment, if you give in to holding grudges, if you give in to depression, if you give in to offense. You are operating in your soul and not in the spirit. And then this scripture, this is one of the keys to prosperity. I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, even as your soul prospers. Bring your soul into subjection. Your soul was never ever meant to be the leader in your life. And yet so many people live based on how they feel, based on what they think, based on what they desire. That's all your soul. Start putting your soul, start teaching your soul. No, Will, you're not going to decide. You're going to submit to the Word of God and to the will of God. Emotions, you're not going to take me off the track. I'm going to harness these emotions for the glory of God. Hallelujah. And your mind needs to be renewed. You need to renew your mind. You need to submit your will. And you need to harness your emotions. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You know, these things aren't easy if you're used to living in your soul. These are not easy, especially if you're used to kind of like, oh, you know, I just kind of feel so blase. I feel so just kind of like out of it today. You know what, I'm just not going to do anything. Just going to get out a bag of chips and just watch whatever's on TV. I don't care what's on TV, and you just keep flicking the channel and stuff like that. Listen, we've all had days like that, but if you keep practicing that lifestyle, and it may not be you're doing that, but you're doing something else, but you're just giving into your feelings, you're going to find it really difficult to start making some changes. But if you don't start, you'll never turn around. At some point, you've got to decide, you know what? I am fed up of my feelings. I'm fed up of my will just doing what it wants to do instead of doing what God wants to do. I'm fed up of thinking the wrong way and start making some changes. And the best way to do it is start renewing your mind. Have a look at Romans chapter 12. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Romans 12 verse 2, give me an oi when you're there. It says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed. Everyone say transformed.
Transform.
Be transformed. How will that happen? It just tells us, by the renewing of your mind. Don't be conformed. Don't act like the world acts. Don't act like how your non-Christian family and your non-Christian friends act. Don't act like the world. Don't be conformed to the world, but be transformed. That word transform literally means, it's the Greek word metamorpho, which is the word where we get metamorphosis from, which is what happens when a caterpillar makes that little cocoon and transforms from a caterpillar into a butterfly. This scripture is saying, don't act like the world, don't think like the world, don't desire like the world, but be transformed. And how will you be transformed? By the renewing of your mind. Start changing the way you think. Instead of thinking those negative thoughts, start thinking like, man, God, you got the answer and it's in me. God, I got the victory because you're in me. God, I'm not stuck in this situation. I know exactly what to do. You may not know in your mind what to do, but your spirit knows. That's why 1 John chapter 2, verse 20 says, the anointing that's upon you is of God, and it says, and you know all things. When I first read that, it says, you're of God, little children. What does it say? Hang on. Let me just look that up, so I don't most misquote it. But you have an anointing from the Holy One and you know all things. I remember I read that and I thought, I know all things. I didn't know that. How do I know all things? What was I doing? I was searching my soul. My spirit knows everything. I love it. Andrew, where's Andrew? There he is. I went to Andrew one time. I said, Andrew, what do you know? And he said, everything. So I like that. That's just agreeing with God. Your mind may not know what you need to do, but your spirit does. Start renewing your mind. Instead of letting your mind rule and saying, we don't know what to do. What are we going to do? What are we going to do? What are we going to do? We're stuck. Nothing's going to happen. We're going down. This is going backwards. Instead of allowing your mind to go and your emotions to go that way, start agreeing with God. Start renewing your mind, because the scripture says you will be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So instead of saying, I don't know what to do, just say, God, I know what to do because you live in me. I'm not going backwards with this because you live in me. My spirit's never been defeated because you live in me. Start renewing your mind. Start changing the way you think. Start speaking that over yourself. What are you doing when you do that? You're allowing your soul to prosper. You know, if you think a certain way, it'll cause you to feel a certain way. Wrong thoughts will produce wrong emotions. And then if you continue to allow yourself to feel a certain way, you'll start acting a certain way. So start renewing your mind. Start changing the way you think. Because if you change the way you think, you'll start feeling a different way. All of a sudden your emotions are starting to be harnessed for the kingdom of God. And now you're acting a different way. Now there's a spring in your step. That's why people can come up to me and they go, how are you going? And I can say to them, I'm living the dream, man. Why? And it could be 300 problems that are going on in my life. But I don't care, because I don't walk by the flesh. I'm a spiritual being. And all the victory that I ever need in my life is already in me. I was driving my bus out of the depot yard this one time, and the owner of the whole company, he had just arrived and he was getting out of his car, and I was driving past him and he saw me anyway. He said, hey Les, how you doing? So I opened my window and I said, mate, I'm living the dream. And he said, you and me both, brother. It just put me in such a good mood, because I just thought, he probably thinks that I'm just saying that, but I honestly believe that. It's what you believe. Make a decision, you're going to believe what God says and then start saying that. If you don't believe it, don't say it, because then you're a hypocrite. You know what I do? If I'm in a really bad situation and things aren't working, and I'm not sure what I should be saying or what I should be doing, the very first thing I do is I sit down and I say, Les, what do you believe? And I'll start reminding myself, I believe Jesus lives in me. I believe I am one spirit with Him. I believe all the wisdom that I ever need in every situation already lives in me. I believe I am the righteousness of Christ. I believe that I'm blameless. I believe I'm undefeated. And I'll start saying that, and all of a sudden, I start praising God. And what happens? I'm starting to walk in the Spirit rather than my soul. Prosperity comes as your soul prospers. That's why he said, Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers. The more you allow your soul to prosper, the more prosperity will flow in every area, including your finances. Let me just show you one more scripture. Can I show you one more? Look at 2 Peter chapter 1. Second Peter chapter 1 and verse 2. It says, Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Grace and peace will be multiplied to you in what? In the knowledge. That's why Romans says, be transformed by renewing your mind. When you start getting a knowledge of what God says, it says in the knowledge of God, is that right? When you start increasing in the knowledge of God and you start renewing your mind with your knowledge of God, then grace and peace is multiplied to you and you become transformed. This is how you can prosper. This is one of the keys to prosperity. So we'll go to the next diagram. This is, to me, this is a great diagram. I love this diagram because this is another way of looking at your spirit, your soul and body. Everything you need is in your spirit, and that's like that water. That's in that diagram. Your body is like the tap, the visible physical tap, and the valves that you open and close, that's like your soul. The scripture says you will prosper in all things as your soul prospers. It's the more you allow the valve to open, which is your soul, the more the spirit will flow out. Everything you need is in your spirit. But you can go, you can be a believer for all of your life and experience just a tiny fraction of it, your whole life, of what God really had put in you because you've never renewed your mind. You've never allowed your soul to be transformed. Grace and peace is multiplied through the knowledge of God. That's why Jesus said, you will know the truth and the truth will what? Set you free. It's not just the truth, it's the truth you know. There are some people that have won the jackpot in Lotto, but they don't know it. And you know what? They just live like they've got barely enough. It's not the truth that they won Lotto. I'm not telling you to go get a ticket in Lotto, by the way. I'm just trying to use an example. There are people that know certain truth, people that don't know certain truths. You could be someone who's received an inheritance, but if you don't know it, you can live as if that inheritance isn't there. And yet the truth could be there's a vast inheritance that belongs to you. What am I trying to say? I'm trying to say the more you renew your mind. Jesus said when you know the truth will set you free. The more you renew your mind, you fill your mind with the knowledge of God, grace and peace is multiplied and your life gets transformed and you begin to prosper. This is so awesome, hey? You are not waiting for God to prosper. He is waiting for you. Start putting your confidence in Him. Start learning how to manage what you've got. Start putting your hands to work. And start renewing your mind to think in line with what He says about you instead of what your situation says or what your feelings are saying or what other people are saying. And as your soul prospers, so will your body and so will your spirit, because you will release the life that's in your spirit to flow out just like that tap. The more you renew your mind, the more you open that tap, and the more the life of the spirit flows out into your circumstance and situation. Praise the Lord. Did you get something out of that this morning? Praise God. Let's stand up. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. This is going to be an awesome year. Hallelujah. We are, you know, I'm just so excited about what's ahead of us. We're going to need some help, because there's people that are going to come to Christ in our church this year. We're going to really need some help. If you haven't done 301, we need you to do 301, hey? We need you to do 301. If you are a member of this church and you haven't done 301, please come and see me, and we need you. We're going to need people who are equipped in following up new Christians. We've got our faith conference that's going to happen the first weekend of May. I'll give you some more details about that when I come back. So there's some really good things that are happening, and we are prime and positioned for the next step that God wants for us. Do I hear an amen?
Amen.
Father, just thank you for your word. We just thank you, Lord God. The prosperity is your idea. It's your desire. And so, Lord, we choose to put our confidence in you. We choose to make some adjustments in the way we manage our finances. We choose to put our hands to work. And we choose to renew our mind to think like you think. I want you to say amen if you believe that.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
This message is distributed free of charge by the friends and partners of Transformers Christian Church. If you'd like to partner with us and help send this to others free of charge, then email info@transformers.org.au. Have a great day.